Please turn with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. I shall be reading chapter 17, verses 20 to 33. Verses 20 to 33. Verse 20. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." And he said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look, there,' or 'Look, here.' Do not go out or follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man." They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life will keep it." This is the word of God.
Mic test. Okay, thank you, Wee Jim, for the reading of the word. Okay, Morning, church. I'm Jordan, one of the pastors of the church. Okay, let me see. Oh, okay. Y'all know that last Saturday was supposed to be the end of the world? How many of you actually read about this news? Oh, okay, not a lot. I guess in Singapore, we are not so much concerned about rumors, claims that the world is ending or that Jesus Christ is coming. You know, some church claiming that, you know, they know when Jesus is coming. So, according to this news, there's supposed to be a mysterious planet that will appear and will crash into Earth or come very near to Earth so that the Earth's magnetic polarity is switched and then there will be a lot of disaster happening. There were even claims of how the stars would align together, you know, in a certain way. And someone, a Christian, numerologist, you know, who looks at numbers, actually came up with this idea of how the stars would align and actually fits a passage in Revelation chapter 12 and says that this is a sign that Christ is coming again. But actually, The truth is this specific alignment of the stars had happened at least four times in history already, you know. Four other times had happened and the world had not ended. Yet, quite a lot of people around the world believe that the end would come. A number of Christians also believe that Christ would indeed return on 23rd September. Obviously, it didn't happen, so congratulations for surviving. But what if it did? What if it happened? Do you remember what you were doing on 23rd September 2017? What if Christ made his sudden return? You know, will we be found queuing for, you know, the latest handphones, thinking about whether it's worth it? Will we be sleeping at home? Will we be found enjoying ourselves at a buffet or something else? You know, all of us humans have a fear of death, of a fear of the end. You know, Christians, we may not have that much of a fear because we believe, we wait expectantly for the return of Christ. We know of the second coming. We know of the victory that is to come. We know what will happen. But actually, what do we really know of that day? What will happen to us? And as Reverend Shremot asked earlier to the kids and to every one of us here, are we prepared as Christians, even as Christians, for the return of Christ? Now, knowledge is easily available. You can go on the internet, you can read books. But this morning, I hope that we will not only gain knowledge, we will not stop with knowledge, but we will act upon the knowledge, especially of what God has revealed to us through his word. Now let us go to God in prayer. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for gathering us this morning. We ask that you speak to us through your word, and let what is of you strengthen us and guide us, and what is not beneficial be scattered to the winds. Open our hearts to you, Lord. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The kingdom of God. Today I'm talking about the kingdom of God from the Gospel of Luke. It is not an easy topic. I realize I've been preaching at least 2 sermons or 3 sermons on the day of the Lord. And now I come to the kingdom of the Lord. Heavy topics, but let us try to gain a little bit more understanding. It is a phrase that is so familiar and unfamiliar at the same time. We know the kingdom of God. We hear about the kingdom of God. But if someone would ask you, what do you mean by the kingdom of God? Will you be able to explain? Will we be able to explain what is the kingdom of God? Is it a physical kingdom where God will come and rule as king? You know, and the whole world, the world, the earth as we know it, will come under the authority of God. Or is it a spiritual realm where God reigns as king over the hearts and the lives of those who willingly submit to the authority of God? What is it like? Now, in our passage today, Luke records another one of Jesus' encounter with the Pharisees, with the Jewish leaders. Unlike other times, I think, where the Pharisees, these teachers of the laws, asked questions as an attempt to bait or to trip Jesus up, they now actually ask a question that is legit, a legitimate question, a valid question for Jesus who they think claim to be a rabbi, a teacher. So they ask him when the kingdom of God would come. And this question is valid because the Jews had been waiting for God to send someone special, someone to be a special king, to establish the special kingdom of the Jews, a king who would reign forever from the line of David, the Davidic covenant, you know, the promise that was given to the Jews. So the Pharisees, these teachers of the laws, especially would know these scriptural promises and prophecy of a king. So they were waiting with much anticipation, much expectations of this king. And having lived for a few hundred years under the rule of various foreign kings, the Jews really wanted a king for themselves who would make life better for them, a king who would overthrow the current, at that time, the Roman Empire, a king who would end their suffering, a king who would bring blessing and life to the Jews who had so long been living in sadness and sorrow. Their own king, their own ruler. That was what they were hoping for, their expectation of the kingdom of God. However, some of these expectations are wrong or incomplete. They expected only to see a physical kingdom, a political kingdom. They expected to see a warrior king coming to Israel, a savior who would overthrow the Roman Empire, re-establish the glory of the kingdom of Israel, to rebuild Israel to the time where King David ruled, where King Solomon ruled, where the kingdom was huge and great. They had so much gold, so much riches and treasures, so much power. But Jesus does not respond to the question of the Pharisees in that manner. Instead, he says, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. It is already in the midst of you. You know, Jesus, in his answer, caused the Pharisees to rethink, to reconsider their understanding on the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus sought to correct their misconception and their wrong expectations. Now, we know that when Jesus actually stood before Pilate, the Roman governor, at the trial, Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? At that time, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from the world. Sorry for the typo. Now again, Jesus does not directly acknowledge to Pilate. Jesus does not say that he is the king of the Jews, but actually he doesn't deny it too. What Jesus does say, and is clear from the text, is that he is indeed king of a kingdom, but a kingdom that is not of this world. So Jesus' answer to the Pharisees in verse 21 is similar, because Jesus is effectively telling the Pharisees that the kingdom of God is here, that there is a kingdom of God, and it is here because the king is here. The kingdom of God is in the midst of you because the king is in the midst of you. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, I am here and I am bringing to you the kingdom of God, but you won't believe it and you won't receive it. Jesus, the King of Kings, is in the midst of the people. Now his reign is not seen, is not observed or represented by a physical crown, by royal clothing or a royal throne. His reign is seen in the transformation of the people, in their repentance from sin, and the forgiveness received through him. It will be visible, it is visible in the healing of the sick, the lame, the demon possessed. For when they repent and are forgiven, God is glorified. So a crown of thorns, a purple cloak, and a wooden cross is what we see, what we observe of Jesus, the King of Kings. That was what the Pharisees and the religious leaders would see of Jesus. What was meant as lowly and shameful would bring glory and honor. Now, we see the kingdom of God through Jesus. We can observe the kingdom of God through Jesus and his ministry on earth. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, we read about the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And thereafter, he gathered his disciples. He taught them about the kingdom of God, taught them repentance, taught them to share about the message of the kingdom of God. And today, we see the kingdom of God in us, in each of us as individuals, as followers of Christ. It is visible by the change that happens in us when we acknowledge that we are helpless in our sin that we need a Savior. When we repent, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When we believe in Jesus, we are forgiven. And we have hope of a future and eternity with God. We have a glimpse of the kingdom of God. In his book, Kingdoms in Conflict, Charles Colson wrote this about our hope in the kingdom of God. Where there is hope, it is in the fact that the kingdom of God has come to earth. It's a kingdom that comes not in a temporary takeover of political structures, but it is a lasting takeover of the human heart by the rule of a holy God. The kingdom of God is a lasting takeover of the human heart by the rule of a holy God. That is the hope we have. And so to the question posed by the Pharisees, Jesus corrected them. It is not a physical kingdom that can be observed, but a spiritual one. And this spiritual kingdom of God has already arrived because Jesus, the King, is in the midst of his people. And he will transform the human heart through the rule of a holy God. Do we have the right understanding towards the kingdom of God today? Have we asked the right question about the kingdom of God today? Are we looking for signs? Are we trying to see something that we can observe? Are we waiting so that we can do something? Are we waiting for a sign so that we can start changing? And just as Jesus corrected the Pharisees that the kingdom of God will come in ways that cannot be observed, in verse 20, he gives a similar correction, a warning to the disciples in verses 22 to 24. The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look there or look here. Do not go out or follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. After the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, many in the world have claimed to know the date of the second coming. Some have even claimed to be Christ returning to rule. In fact, earlier, I have an XPHS student who came back to visit. He was sharing with me about him visiting churches in the States. And he happened to go to one church where the pastor, supposedly either on his deathbed or have passed away, and the church members were all gathered within the church at the supposed service, and they were all praying for the resurrection of that pastor and saying that, oh, he is the Christ, he will return. He will have the young body of Michael Jordan, and he will have a new body. And they actually locked up the place, so my friend had to ask them to unlock the door so that he can leave. So there are many similar claims in the world today. Now in the second coming, Jesus will come in all his glory. It will not be hidden. It will not just be one church saying that they know. It will not be one church saying that they have the Christ. You know, like the lightning that lights up the sky from one side of the sky to the other. You know, literally meaning all across the earth. It's not just from what we see of left to right, but from the east to the west, everywhere, the Son of Man will be seen by all on earth. The sign for the kingdom of God is Jesus Christ himself. The sign will be Jesus himself coming in glory. Now the kingdom of God will come. The kingdom of God will come. The spiritual kingdom of God is here, and yet we know that the kingdom of God will also come when Jesus returns. Now Jesus then gives two warnings to the listeners. Two warnings using stories that are familiar to the Pharisees, to the disciples, to the listeners, to the Jews. Stories that we should be familiar with too. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot. They were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Just as it was in the days of Noah, just as it was in the days of Lot, the people were doing a great many things. They were eating and drinking, they were marrying, you know, being given in marriage, they were buying and selling, planting and building. They were living life as per normal. You know, getting ready for a family, preparing for dinner, preparing for a home, preparing for their businesses, preparing for harvest. You know, they bought, they sowed, they built, they planted. Now from this passage, I think it's interesting that there's actually no mention of sin. There's no mention of sinful acts or behaviors. There's no immorality, no idolatry mentioned, no murder, adultery, envy, theft, no mention of them breaking any of the Ten Commandments. Of all the things that were happening, that we actually read of in the book of Genesis, the wickedness of man is not mentioned. Instead, Jesus tells of their everyday happening. It was simply business as usual, life going on. Now, in the days of Noah, while Noah and family, they were faithfully building the ark in obedience to God, the people around them were eating, drinking, and marrying. Now, can you imagine with me for a moment, you know, if somebody who stays in the block next to our church, you know, he starts chopping down the trees. You know, he starts building a structure in the open car park. 1 week passes by. You know, I'm sure someone will notice. 1 month passes by. You know, maybe most of the trees are gone. And then this huge structure goes up 3 to 5 meters or even higher, blocking up the parking area. I'm sure someone would have sent a picture to Storm to complain. Someone would have called the police. 1 year, 2 years, 10 years. Can you imagine every one of us coming to church, just going on with life? Nobody bothering, you know, the trees are gone. There's this huge wooden structure there. Nobody knows what's happening. Would you just walk past? Well, for the many years which Noah spent building the ark, people just continued eating, drinking, continued with life. Even as the ark was completed, as Noah and family loaded up stores and food, you know, as animals of all shapes and sizes started coming to the ark, no one paid heed to what was happening. No one thought about God's judgment. The people simply ignored Noah. Noah, who must surely have preached to them. Perhaps some of them would have invited him for dinner, for a feast, for a wedding. And Noah would have told them, no, he has to do what God has commanded him. And he would have told them that the flood is coming. But the people ignored him. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, Peter calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. So he must have preached to them. But the people ignored God. And when the flood came, they all perished. And then in the days of Lot, you know, people were doing the same thing. You know, they were eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building. We read in the book of Genesis that the people of Sodom were extremely wicked and sinful in the eyes of God. In Genesis 19, two angels came to the town of Sodom after Abraham had interceded for the town before the Lord. And through Abraham's intercession, God promised, for the sake of Ten, I will not destroy it. And yet, when the angels arrived, they could not even find 10 righteous people in the entire town, in the entire city. Their wickedness was so great that the Lord had to destroy the city and his people. So the angels urged Lot to take his family quickly out of the town, out of the city. And it was at this time that Lot's son-in-law, ignored him, thinking that he was joking. And as morning dawned, the angels urged Lot again to leave quickly with his wife and two daughters. And when he was hesitating, the angels seized him, took him up and his family, and took them out of the city. A warning was given: escape for your life, do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. On the day Lot went out from Sodom, the town was destroyed and all who were in it. The people who had been eating, drinking, buying and selling, planting and building, all perished. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. Just as it was in the days of Lot, so will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. When the Son of Man returns in glory, it will be as sudden as the flood. It will be as quick as the fire and sulfur that destroyed Sodom. Sudden and quick. On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back. When it happens, there will not be time to pack your bags. There will not be time to keep your valuables. There will not be time to look for your Bibles, look for clothes. You know, judgment will come quickly. You know, look at verse 32. It says, remember Lot's wife. I think she's a clear example that we cannot serve two masters. We cannot have on the throne of our life both the Lord Jesus Christ and the things of this world. We have to decide. You have to choose who your master is going to be. And Jesus says in the very next verse, whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. Lot's wife had to lose her life, had to leave her old life in order to save it. She had to lose, to let go of it, of that life in the city of Sodom, so that she can have a new life. But she chose not to. She hesitated. She looked back with longing because things were still going on fine. People were still eating and drinking, planting and building. It doesn't seem like something bad is going to happen. So she looked back. Maybe it's not so bad. She had that opportunity to leave. She accepted that opportunity to leave when the angels took her out, but she chose to turn back. And she lost her life. Just as it was, so will it be. You know, church, we cannot afford to live life just as it is. The message of Jesus is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is in repentance that we enter the kingdom of God. It is in obedience to the message of Jesus that we enter the kingdom of God. A kingdom which is both spiritual and physical, both now and yet to come. It is now because Jesus has died on the cross for our sins, because Jesus has given us the opportunity to repent and to be redeemed. It is now because victory over sin and death has been won through the death of Christ. And that is the spiritual realm of the kingdom. And when Christ comes again in the second coming, he will reign in a great and mighty way, ending human suffering. You know, in the book of Daniel, the kingdom of God is described as one that will never be destroyed and shall stand forever. An everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. We can read that in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, even Daniel chapter 7. You can take your time to read them. And that is the physical realm of the kingdom. How exactly that will look like is something we will only get to see in the future. The question for us is whether we are prepared for the day when Christ returns. Will we be living life as usual? You know, just as it was in the days of Noah and the days of Lot? Will we be living life as usual? You know, some of us, whether we are Christians or not, whether we have heard the good news of God's salvation or not, some of us might have accepted it, believe in Jesus. But have we done anything more about it? Have we truly repented? Have our life changed? Are we truly following Jesus? Some of us here might be like Lot's wife, half-hearted, torn between accepting God's salvation and the comforts of this world. We might still look at our life and think, look at the world today and think, oh, it's all right. You know, there's no sign that God is coming. Maybe I can carry on with usual for now. Maybe I can just live life as it is for now. Repentance can wait for tomorrow. So the question to really ask yourself today is, am I ready for the kingdom of God? Is Jesus my king? Do I have the victory over sin and death? I want to share a story. You know, towards the end of World War II, there was this Scottish chaplain and professor, Professor MacDonald from Glasgow, Scotland. You know, both of them were shot down behind enemy lines. They were taken as prisoners of war in Germany. The two of them were actually placed in two different sections of the prisoner of war camp. Professor MacDonald with the Americans, not because of McDonald's, you know, and the chaplain with the British. So these two sections were only separated by a wire fence. Every day, the two of them would meet at this wire fence to exchange greetings. Something that the Germans did not know was that the Americans had this small makeshift radio that enabled them to listen to news from the outside. This radio was far more precious than food to the prisoners of war because of the news update. And whenever possible, whenever they met, Professor MacDonald would share with the chaplain about the news from outside, about how the war was going on. One day, as the Americans were listening to the news, they learned that the German high command had surrendered. The war was over. You know, Professor MacDonald hurried to the fence, looked for his chaplain friend to share the good news. And then he stood by the wire fence and watched as the chaplain disappeared into the British barracks. A moment later, there was a roar of celebration from the barracks. People were shouting and cheering. And life in that camp changed. Men who were prisoners were walking around singing and shouting, you know, waving at the guards, even laughing at the dogs. When the Germans finally heard the news 3 days later, they fled into the darkness, leaving the gates unlocked. And the next morning, the British and the American prisoner of war walked out as free men. But in reality, they had already been set free 3 days earlier, simply by the news that the war was over. Now, Christ's kingdom is not fully fulfilled today, but we have the good news that the war is won. We know the outcome of war. We know that Jesus has attained victory over sin and death. We know that in repentance, we can find forgiveness. We know that we can celebrate the victory today, even if it seems that we are still suffering in a sinful world. We have that good news of victory, the message of redemption to share with everyone around us. But we cannot keep it on our side of the camp. You know, the fellow prisoner of wars deserve to know the good news, that they too can have joy, that they can be prepared for the coming kingdom of God. And I think last night was a good start. You know, as we invited family and friends to our mid-autumn celebration yesterday, we had the opportunity to share the good news, to share the good news to the other side of the camp. We share the joy we have in Jesus, the victory we have in Jesus. But that's not the end of it. That should not be the end of it. We cannot stop there. Let us continue to share the good news of God's salvation. Build an ark. You know, live out the kingdom of God in your life so that your family, your friends will ask, will be curious about your faith, your joy, about what you have in your life. repent, be transformed. That is how we can get ready for the kingdom of God. So again, the question for us today is, are we prepared for the day when Christ returns? Are you ready? What will you be found doing when Christ returns? Let us pray. Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God, that is your message for the people when you walk the earth, and it continues today. Repent. Return to God, our Father, our Creator. Lord, even as we look forward with hope for the second coming of the Christ, help us so that we are prepared. Help us to live that transformed and victorious life in your Spirit. And as we live in this sinful world, lead us so that we can preach your righteousness, we can shine your light to the lost and searching. And Lord, I pray that we will take heed of the warning from the days of Noah and Lot. I pray that we would not continue with life as usual after reading, after listening to your word. You have a message of love, of grace and forgiveness, a message we have received, a message we are enjoying. But you also call us to go out, to go into the world to share this good news, to share the message of repentance. So Lord, guard our hearts, guard our minds from the distractions of this world, from the temptations of possessions and wealth, and lead us in following you wholeheartedly. Lord, may your kingdom come, may your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In closing, let us stand and sing this song of response. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. visited.